I'm Rodney Howard Brown. And I'll just stand here and grin while y'all laugh. Well, then I'll be Kenneth Hagin, and I'll just stand here while you laugh. Both of them carried that anointing. Amen. Laughter doeth good like a medicine, right? Well, you guys that know how to laugh, that's wonderful. But you guys are just sitting there looking like, well, let's move on. That's not so wonderful. Laughter is contagious, isn't it? Haven't heard Christopher snort yet, so I guess we haven't gotten there yet. When he starts snorting, I know we've touched the glory. Come on, some of you are dead. You need to come alive right now. Christopher's trying. He just can't snort, so... I guess we'll move on. My bulbs burnt out. Remember that, okay. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for your laughter. I thank you for your joy. I thank you, Father God, that your children are coming alive tonight and that the enemy cannot keep them bound. Father, I thank you that the Godhead is here among us and that you are doing a perfect work within each and every one of us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the glory is untouchable. She's getting her brain fixed through laughing. Tell her. She's being healed. That's what's wrong with mommy. Right? Do y'all think it's a little warm in here? Are you okay? Some are fanning, some are not. But some are going like this, you know. I don't know what that means. But anyhow. I just don't want you to be too hot. Or you just can't turn the heat down? Or the heat's not on? The heat's broke, I forgot. Well, then why are we so hot? Is that the fire of God? Yes. Are you healed now, Nancy?
Amen.
Good. And so Chris isn't going to snort. So we're just going to go and start teaching tonight. There's something going on in the atmosphere, and I really don't know what it is. I feel like something's dying, and I'm believing it's because God is killing the old so this church can move on into the new. I'm not sure about that, but that's what I feel. So if you start feeling like something's dying, it's just God, I'm pretty sure, moving within each one of us, killing the old so he can bring in the new. He can't fill our wineskin with new oil if he doesn't take out the old, right? All right, God spoke to me and said, the glory is untouchable. When the glory of God is upon you, you become untouchable. That is so true. When the glory is fully, totally, and completely upon you, the enemy cannot touch you in any way. Sickness or anything, he can't do that. My favorite verse in the Bible is Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Almighty God is sovereign over all things, and he is untouchable. Nothing can match his glory, strength, power, might, knowledge, forgiveness, blessings, riches, love, mercy, grace, omniscience, omnipresence, skill, handiwork, greatness, holiness, righteousness, availability, sensitivity, patience, tenderness, peace, graciousness, gentleness, self-control, joy, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, strategic ways, agape love, bravery, consistency, intentionality, humbleness, willingness, sympathy, empathy, beauty, authority, and anything else you can possibly think of. He is totally awesome. I don't know about you, but many times I cry out to God, oh, now she's putting on her coat, so turn the air conditioner off, please. Many times I've said to God, God, I want to love like you love. You know, I want to be full of grace like you're full of grace. It can never quite attain what God gives us. But that doesn't mean we stop seeking for it and reaching for it. It means we just keep going with God. Psalm 97, verse 1 said, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. All right. The Lord reigns, not the enemy. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. And what does God say? We don't have any enemies. Our enemies are his. So if we keep giving our enemies to him, it says he's going to burn them up, right? In this year of Jubilee, the heavens have been opened unto us. Every year God said, this is the year of Jubilee. And I said, God, why do you say that? He said, it's your Jubilee if you can receive it. He said, people can't receive the year of Jubilee. So each year he makes it the year of Jubilee so we can receive all that he has for us. If you carry the fire of the Holy Spirit, you will reflect in the spirit realm. If you carry the fire of the Holy Spirit, you will reflect in the spirit realm. When the glory of fire is upon you, you will become untouchable. How many times has God dropped in here with the fire? And if we receive the fire, then we have become untouchable by the enemy. The fire works in two ways. It works within you, and it works for you. The fire of the Holy Spirit will cover and protect you from enemies when you are in the storms of life. God's consuming fire will go with you this year in Jesus' name. God has consumed us with his fire so many times over and over and over again. Have we really received it? If we really received it, then we are protected by that consuming fire. If you don't carry fire, you will be unable to accomplish so many things. Fire reveals secrets. You must know God has your, as your Savior before the fire can work for you. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life before the fire can do anything at all for you. The fire attracts favor and mercy. The fire breaks yokes and bondages. Fire of glory works quickly when you are fasting. When you carry the fire of glory, you become untouchable. I can say that we don't carry the fire the way we ought because we are touchable. In other words, the enemy does come and he does harass, all right? Jesus is alive, and we need to understand the fullness of that statement. He is alive, and his glory fills the temple. What are you? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then the glory should be filling your temple. Now remember when Jesus went to the sea to be baptized by John the Baptist, he didn't have the Spirit until he was baptized. When he come up out of the water, the dove of the Holy Spirit was upon him, and he was full of the Holy Spirit from that point on, and he walked in the Holy Spirit anointing with the fire following and going with him, not following but going with him. And too many people just get baptized. And you should never just get baptized. You should get baptized full of expectation that God's fire is going to come upon you with his Holy Spirit. And then you'll be full, that you will be full of the Holy Spirit when you come up out of that water. You know, if you go to different churches, every church you go to, you sit there 2 weeks, they want you baptized in their church. And you know, that's all you got. You just got wet. You never got immersed into the Holy Spirit of God. And that is why you never was able to really master sin. You could never get out of it, and it was always upon you. It's because you did not have the Spirit. People say that's not true, but read your word. All right, Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3. Now remember when we was here, when God was moving all the time, people would say there was fire on the roof. There was always fire on the roof. The fire of God was in this building. You know, and his glory filled this building constantly. And that is why when people came through the door, they were immediately slain in the spirit. And we had healings after healings, miracle after miracle, all because the fire had consumed this building. Are you understanding? Because God lived here. Well, he still does. But not in the fullness of how he used to, because he took that away from everybody. But he's bringing it back now. And so I'm expecting any day for the fire to appear once again and for the miracles to begin, you know, before we even do anything, you know, just walk through the door. Someone couldn't even walk through the door. They lay down on the sidewalk. So, you know, I'm believing, but that I don't desire that because I'm believing God is going to do greater things than what he did then. All right. Where am I at? 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement. and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Remember the story I told you about this one pastor I had, where her mother every morning would have her cup of tea in her kitchen. And this morning they went to go in the kitchen, could not enter the kitchen because the glory of the Lord had, when she was doing her prayers, and the glory of the Lord had entered in the kitchen and entered onto her. And I think it was for 3 days. They could not go in the kitchen, as she said. They could see her sitting at the table, but they could not go into her. This is what we just read here, wasn't it? Because the glory of the Lord filled the temple, they could not go in. Once we have tasted, seen, or been in the midst of the glory of God, nothing else satisfies what our souls are hungry for. And how true that is. The glory is tangible. The glory can be felt. People are made for God's glory. Before the fall, Adam and Eve were covered and filled with God's glory. Before Adam sinned, God created Adam and clothed him with his glory, and Adam did not know he was naked. Before Adam sinned, all he knew was the fire of God's glory around his body. See, the sin nature in us keeps the glory from totally consuming us. And God's trying to get us to give him all that sin nature so the glory can be consume us. And we walk in that glory continually. But after Adam sinned, he lost the glory. In 1 Kings 8:10, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. When the glory of the Lord really comes in all of its fullness, we will not be able to minister because we'll just be so consumed with the glory that we'll just either lay, sit, stand, or whatever position we're in when it hits, that's the way we're going to stay. We have witnessed that many, many times in church services. When people come in to mock us, you know, God would hit them with the glory and he would have them in really weird positions, and they would stay that way till the service was finished. All right? Now, don't get yourself in a weird position and say, God hit me with his glory. No, he didn't. Amen. Come on. Everything is good in the glory. Exodus 14:19 says, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. So the glory cloud will keep you safe. The glory of God was in the cloud that guided the Israelites from the land of Egypt. Excuse me. The glory of protection is for us just as it was for the Israelites. I don't know about you, but I really say, God, just wrap me in that glory, you know, because Jesus carried the glory, right? And Jesus told me never to forget the blanket of blood. So when I ask him to wrap me with the blanket of blood, Jesus' blood, I'm asking him to wrap me in the glory that Jesus carried. You see that? The cloud protected and provided a shade from the harsh sun in the daytime for the Israelites as they journeyed through the wilderness. The glory protects us today from the harshness of the elements around us. The cloud hid the Israelites from their enemy and kept them from being destroyed. The glory protects us from our enemies and hides us in the shadow of his wings. The glory protects us from our enemies and hides us in the shadow of his wings. If you're being harassed by a demonic being, why don't you wrap yourself in the glory of God? And that enemy has to flee. It can't keep harassing you. It can't carry out its wiles against you. All right, the cloud was light that pointed out the way of escape and made possible a crossing over for the escaping Israelites. The glory lights our way and shows us the path ahead. Isaiah 30:21 says, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. We need the glory of God to protect us and show us the way. What did God say in that prophetic word? Something about the path. He was going to strengthen our feet so we can walk the path. What's he going to do? He's going to wrap our feet in the glory. And the enemy won't be able to stop us. All right? Exodus 19:14. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings. And one time God said to me, daughter, listen for the thunderings and the lightnings. And a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. God wants each and every one of us to be glory carriers. But we can't be glory carriers tainted. It would kill us. And this is why God, because he's getting ready to really consume us with his glory, and this is why he's given these two messages today to warn us what's going to happen if we don't walk in holiness and purity of heart. Intimacy with the Lord grows in the glory. He is the glory. We are in him, and he is in us in a tangible way. We need the glory of the Lord to bind us together in unity. God told me, 2 years ago, that, or maybe longer, that the glory is here in this building, but it's not in a fullness. So we've been walking. Then remember when he told us, you walk under an open heaven. So when the glory is there, the heavens are open, and you have total and complete access to heaven to get whatever you need from God. So maybe we've been wasting our time for a couple years. Maybe we haven't understood what the open heavens is all about, but now I want you to understand that an open heaven means God is listening to everything, and you have total and complete access to the throne room, and whatever you have need of, he's going to supply. But so many people are so bound by darkness that the enemy makes them believe they don't need to do any of that, and therefore they stay bound. You know, so I'm asking each. I looked around here this morning. I said, God, this one's so dead, there's no life in her eyes. That one's so dead, there's no life in their eyes. You know, so this morning I was telling Aaron and Adriana that the anointing was strong during praise and worship on me. The anointing was really strong when I was teaching. But when I stepped down, I made one step down there. And I said, get your faith working, because there's not much anointing in the altar. I took two more steps. I was totally dead. No anointing, no nothing. What caused that? I don't know. I sat back there trying to hear God's voice. Absolutely. I was just like a total stranger in the house of God. I don't know what caused that, because I've been crying out for the glory to manifest itself in all its fullness. You know, I cry out constantly for God to fill me with his glory. I don't know what happened there, but I said all that to say this. I feel like something is dying so that God can bring new life. And you people that are sitting here, you're totally dead in your faces and your eyes. God is trying to get that out of you so he can give you brand new life and place his glory in you. You know what you're going through. You know how you're feeling. I hope you do. If not, I feel sorry for you because it's you. And you have to know you have to know what you feel like. You have to know what you're going through so that you can cry out to God and get changed. I don't know what you're going through. I don't live inside of you. Thank God. You have enough visitors inside there. You don't need me in there yet, right? But you need to really cry out to God and just tell God, just show me your glory. And now what Moses said, show me your glory. You know, you have to ask God, and he wants to see that you're hungry. He's not going to waste his time. All right? Every time you come in the church, you should say, God, let the glory fall today upon me. Just manifest yourself in all your fullness today for me. And if we'd each say that, we would have a house full of glory, wouldn't we? You know? But we just, all right, it's church. Let's just go to church. We laugh and giggle and carry on and wait at church. We walk in here, sit down, sing a few songs, and then listen to a teaching. But see, you haven't prepared yourself for God to drop his glory on you or in you or wrap you in his glory. When we are in the atmosphere of the glory of God, our spirits are opened up as we enter into the joy of the Lord. Revelation can be deposited in the very inner core of our mind. The word promises that. When we seek him, we shall find him. You know, okay, so the people, the laughter broke out in here. The people who have their minds open to receive the glory were laughing. But the people who are closed, because they don't probably don't know, but people who were closed to the glory just watched you laugh. Are you understanding this? You know, we should never be a spectator. We should enter into everything that God is doing. And I know that God has to touch you to cause you to laugh like that. I'm the first one to tell you that. God has to touch you to make you dance. You know, you just don't get up. Well, you might get up and start dancing, but really and truly, true dancing in the spirit is when God touches you. I was sitting there and I felt like God was going to make me dance. I said, God, if you do, please let me be dignified. Because he used to always hit me and I'd dance like an Indian all through the church. That's how we started every church service. You know, and I said, please don't let me get up and make a fool of myself. So he didn't touch me to dance, but I felt like he was going to. So I hurried up quickly, said, no, 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 no. Amen. I don't think you're ready for that yet. All right, then 1 Kings 8:10. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. There we go again. When the glory comes, we won't be able to minister. It is God who does the ministry. You know, I remember I used to just get up here and stand, you know, get up here to open up, and God, he was just moving all over the place. I'd just stand here and look around, watch what he was doing. I was just a spectator. He was doing, you know, doing his thing. And I would look at some people and think, why are they doing that? But, you know, the Holy Spirit was touching them. I never said a word. I just stood here and watched everything God did. Are you understanding this? I was not part of the show. I was just watching what he was doing. I had no part in his show. He had the whole show, and that's the way it should be. When the glory fills the house of the Lord, it overwhelms us. Our plans go out the window. All that is important is him. Supernatural stillness invades the atmosphere, sometimes so intense not even the babies cry out. The air becomes electrified with the glory. Excuse me. Senses are heightened. Spiritual eyes are opened. Spiritual ears are unblocked. The perfume of heaven takes over our nostrils. Fatigue is exchanged for abundant energy. When our homes are filled with the glory of the Lord, our children are in peace. When we as individuals are filled with the glory, we can have peace in the midst of turbulence. God stretches us out like a tent. He fills us up with light. So if your kids are acting up and your wife's acting up, your husband's acting up, but then the glory's not in your house. And what you need to do is pray that God brings his glory to bring peace in the atmosphere so it touches everybody. You know, with Brother Aaron, he delivers packages. You know, the glory of the Lord could hit him one day when he's carrying a package. He could start dancing and singing, get up there and knock at a door and just be all happy and joyous and hand the package to the person. And they think he's high. And he turned around and just dance on back to his little vehicle. I think that would be so wonderful if God would do that to him. Stick him, Lord, stick him. Let him be a spectacle for you. Right? Come on, that's what you want. You don't want to be normal. You want to be abnormal when you walk with God. You know, I watch you people as you get up here during praise and worship. Some get up here in the spirit, some get up here in the flesh. And you just do what your flesh would do. But when you come up here in the spirit, you know, I don't care where you're sitting when you get up. You know, when you get up in the spirit, God just takes over and you really don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Is, you know, he just takes over and he just does with your body what he wants to do. Why? Because you gave him permission. Here I am, Lord, use me. You know, let your spirit fall upon me and let people see the glory of the Lord. The other night, Wednesday night, poor Deborah, I walked over to her and she looked like she didn't know what she was saying. And she was so startled and she fell back into the angel and the flowers. And, you know, just, you know, the glory was so strong it just hit her before I could even get to her, you know. And down she went. And see, it's not me. That's what I tell you when you come to the altar. It's not me. It's God from heaven, the Holy Spirit that's in the room, the angelic hosts are in the room, who is touching you and taking you down into the spirit. It's not me. And it's nobody else. It's nobody but God. Because if you go down because a person touched you, well, I shouldn't say that because God said I have to lay hands on people again. But if, you know, If you just, or okay, so say I walked up to you and I touch you and you think, well, I got to go down because you touched me. I mean, used to have that all the time. We call that a courtesy drop. And I say, if the Holy Spirit doesn't take you down, stand up. You know, we've actually pulled people back up again and said, you just fell down because you thought you had to. So, you know, we just prayed with him and went on. You know, a courtesy drop doesn't take you into the spirit realm. And God can't touch you the way he wants to, you know, while you're in the spirit realm, all right? Some people go down in the spirit, and they can tell you everything that happened. When I go out in the spirit, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know nothing. I just know I was there, and then later on I'm here. And I can't tell you a thing that happened, nothing. But I know my life was changed when I got up. So, you know, you might go down and not hear anything or see anything. That's fine. As long as you were in the spirit all that time, you know. Going out in the spirit isn't a time to go to sleep either. You know, when you go out in the spirit, you shouldn't be going to sleep because you're really not in the spirit. You're just extra tired and you found a bed. All right, so, you know, let's get the spirit thing right, you know, walking in the spirit right. Let's not be fakes, because fake in the spirit doesn't do anything to anybody. We live in perilous times. God knew what he was doing when he placed us in this generation. But if we don't keep our lives filled with the glory, our lights grow dim and we can't find our way. Let alone light the way for, okay, so we can't find our way, let alone light the way for others who are lost. You know, if we're fumbling around in the darkness, we cannot minister to somebody else and bring them into the light. All we know is darkness. That's all you're going to give them is more darkness because they're already dark. We need the glory for holiness to the Lord. Once the glory, once you walk into glory, you won't want to sin no more. I'm going to tell you, you won't. Because the glory is so powerful that it just takes away every desire for any type of sin. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We can't be out here beating each other up, physically, you know, with your mouth or whatever, and walking any way we want to, you know, and say we're children of God. We can't do that. Because once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you start changing. It took Alan 10 years, did you say, Alan? To get all the junk out of him. But he kept on pursuing God until he is where he's at today. We don't give up. But then, see, God said in this dispensation of time, you young people are coming in the house of God. You're not going to wait 10 years, 5 years, 2 years. He's going to just clean everybody up, boom, just like that. And that's the wonderful way to go. Because he doesn't have time for this slow stuff anymore. All right, in the glory we are transformed. Our hearts are healed. Bodies become whole. Minds are stabilized. Addictions are broken and demons flee. I'm going to tell you, when I walked in the fullness of the glory, I never aged. I stayed 30 years old for I don't know how many years. They did DNA or whatever on me, and they said, you have the body of a 30-year-old. I looked 30 years old, and I was 50. So as long as I stayed in the glory, I never aged. But the day that the glory left me, I aged 10 years overnight. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. You have to walk in the glory, and then the enemy cannot touch you. Are you listening? When you're walking in the glory, the impossible is now logical. Dreams are resurrected from the ashes of disappointment. The breath of God brings new life to destiny. The plans of the enemy are torn down, and new plans of success are drawn up. In the glory, we are given strength to go on to victory. We can never leave the place of his glory the same way that we came in. God said us together service. He said, he was talking about himself and us. We are not the same as we came in. We won't leave the same way. And whether you see it or not, God has changed something within you. You can say, well, I didn't feel nothing. We don't go by feelings. We really don't. And so you something happened to you each and every time you go out in the spirit. Exodus 33:8 says, so it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. If you see, Moses went into the tabernacle, and God came down and stood at the door. He was not inside the tabernacle. Exodus 33:17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this same that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. See, one day years ago, God said, daughter, what I have done for Moses, I'm going to do it all for you also. And he said, I do know you by name. And then a couple times he'll say, Barbara. He said, see, I know you. I still know you by name. And he's still going to do for me what he did for Moses. See, if you walk close with God, God will speak to you continually, and he will tell you things, personal things that will help you to keep motivated, keep you going. Because if we don't have the promises of God, what do we stand on? All right? So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, Moses said, please show me your glory. Then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, there is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. Now, God wants to do the same thing to each one of us here tonight. He wants to show you his glory. He wants to pass by you and let his glory pour out upon you in a way he's never done before. And I'm really believing, you know, even as I was writing this and reading the scriptures, I'm really believing that you're going to be different tonight when you leave here than when you came. If you look around about you, it's the same people that always come here that's here. And you are the group of people that God is going to use to minister to the lost and the dying. Now, every now and then he gives me a message of something like a salvation message, and that is because there's people in that come in that don't know what you know, and God has to speak to them personally. So don't think you've lost your salvation when he does that. You know, it's just that the new people have to be ministered to also. All right? And you should be secure in your walk with God. When God starts, you know, speaking salvation messages to the people come in, you should be so secure in your walk with God that it won't bother you. You'll just be thankful that God is sharing with others what you already know. All right. Then Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. There's your fire again. From the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then God said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I'm encouraging you to understand that your feet are holy. When I was first started a church, God told me, every place you place your feet becomes holy ground because your feet are holy. And so I used to walk everywhere and say, this is holy ground, this is holy ground. And I still do that if I go to different places. And that's what you should do. You should, every place you walk, you should say, this is holy ground because my feet are holy. And then leave the holiness of God wherever you go. And then see, that's a residue that God can use then to place upon the unsaved. And they can supernaturally become saved. You know, God will touch them and their hearts will burn for God. So don't just walk. Walk with a purpose. You know, a purpose in your heart, wherever I go, I'm going to leave a residue of God so somebody else can step into that and be touched by the anointing. May God give us the grace to chase the glory until we are in the thick of his cloud. We've been doing that. May we be like Joshua, found in the midst of his presence, in the midst of his glory. As we are being conformed to his image from the inside out, we are becoming untouchable. So what God wants us to do is just like we said here, may God give us the grace to chase the glory. Have you been chasing the glory? Have you really been desiring the glory? Chase the glory until we are in the thick of his cloud. You keep chasing that glory, believe me, you are going to get into that glory. you are really going to get into that glory. And see, when you're in that glory, all things are possible. And when you're in the glory, you don't have no pain, no nothing. You know, you're totally, completely healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. When I had COVID real bad last August, twice, I know I was dying, and my whole body turned to what it used to be. It was no longer swollen or nothing. And I saw myself standing there. Teresa helped me up out of bed, but I didn't see myself as I was. I saw myself totally, completely healed. Thin and everything, just like I was before I started getting sick. And that happened two times. See, I was in the glory. And God sent his glory so I wouldn't die at those two times. And you know, and I was crying out to God, please don't take my life. I have young boys I have to raise. So see, you have to be hungry for the glory. You have to cry out to God continually for the glory. And I don't care what's going on in your life. I've been there too, but I like where I'm at now. I didn't dwell on what people did to me. I dwelt on the Father. My grandmother always took me to church, so I have a good church background. And so I always knew that she always taught me Jesus was there no matter what. And no matter what I was going through, I'd cry out to Jesus to come and be with me. And see, then my life just, you know, kept progressing in God until I got into glory. Are you listening? We're headed for that glory road again in all of its fullness. And, you know, I every time I read this, I thought, you know, God, I don't know how many years ago now he gave us that scripture, said that's our scripture. We did not comprehend the fullness of what God was telling us in that scripture. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I know it's at least 5 years, you know. So is that what it was? And so right there he told us that was our scripture. So the glory of the Lord was already here. It risen upon us, and we didn't comprehend what he was trying to tell us. You need to now look through different eyes, and everything God tells you, look at what he's really trying to tell you. All right, just don't skim over things. Look at what he's really trying to tell us. You know, and just like this sign, and God does not, you know, he what does it say? And, you know, I had somebody come in here, they said they love that. They'd never been here before. I love that sign. And you know, God, when we change signs, because God said he's finished with that, it's done its work, and then we do a new sign. He's never told me to take that sign down, and he's saying right now, and I never will. Because people don't believe that it's God testing them when they go through trials and tribulations. He is strengthening us. It's what he told us. He's building integrity in us. You know, he's making us more like him, his son, every day through the tests and the trials we go through. So we need to, God said, we need to throw all limitations aside tonight. Don't have anything keeping you from receiving all that God wants to give you tonight. And what he wants to give you is the fullness of his glory so you can walk in it 24/7 so he can use you as a vessel of fire and honor to carry that glory to a lost and dying generation. So if you really want the fullness of the glory, God is here tonight to give it to you, and the altar's open.